If that don't, at least make you want to shout, something is seriously wrong with you. I don't know if I'm going to preach or just have a fit. Thank God he's always nigh. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad he shows up sometimes. We don't base what we got on a feeling, but I sure like it when I can feel it. Amen. Amen. John chapter number 13 tonight. Whoo, hallelujah. What a blessing. God's good to us, ain't he? Can you believe that we live and lead the lives we do, and he comes here week after week and meets with us anyway? Amen. Amen. I'd be able to say that again. Can you believe that we live the lives we live, and he shows up and meets with us anyway? Amen. I'm glad God don't love us if. He just loves us. Amen. Thank God. Boy, what a blessing. That's good singing tonight, guys, all the way around. I enjoyed that. And man, singing's supposed to bless your heart. Amen. That's what that does. That just blesses my heart. We don't believe in that rock and roll junk in church, and you know, all that stuff pump up your flesh, man, get you kind of revved up. But we want something that's going to speak to your heart. Amen. But I like that. John chapter number 13, I'm going to try to figure out where I want to start reading. Verse number 4 will work. And we're going to do something tonight that scare most Baptists to death. We're going to have foot washing. Man, I wish you was up here and could see their faces. They're like, we're going to preach about foot washing tonight. Yeah. Amen. Don't get scared. I do not have a pan of water up here. I got people looking for the door right now, Brother Freddie. I wish you could see. Amen. I'm tempted to send somebody after a pan now. Amen. Go get me a pan and a towel. Amen. We'll get Brother Michael's mop bucket. Amen. Amen. John, trust me. Stay with me. John, chapter number 13, and verse number 4. The Bible said he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. Just talking about the Lord Jesus. And took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. That's pride. Jesus answered and said to him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, I like this, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, You're not washing my feet. The Lord said, If I don't wash your feet, Peter, you ain't got no part with me. He said, Well, in that case, get it all. Go ahead and get my hands and my head. Wash me from head to toe. I'm glad when I got saved. He didn't just wash my foot. He didn't just wash my hand. He washed me from head to toe. Every little sin that I ever had committed, every sin that I ever would commit, he took care of it. Amen. Hallelujah, boy. I'm about to get tore up. Amen. He said, Get it all. Get my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, To them, know ye what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but Jesus is the only one who walked out of that room without getting his feet washed. You ever thought about that? Jesus is the only one that walked out of that upper room without having his feet washed. There were probably a couple of reasons there. Number one, didn't need it. Didn't need it. He was teaching his disciples an act of humility. He was leaving them an example to follow as he did. Maybe another reason, in the chapter before the upper room, he gets his feet washed. Mary breaks that box of ointment and pours it on his feet and washes his feet with her hair. He's just had his feet washed, amen? Tonight I want to talk about spiritual foot washing. Spiritual foot washing. Keep your shoes on. I do not want to smell your feet. Amen. But I want to talk about some foot washing that needs to be done in our church. We're going to talk about feet tonight. Amen. In our church tonight, there are some with cold feet. Y'all know what it means to have cold feet? Second thoughts. Amen. There are people, God's people everywhere who are living in fear. They're in fear of going forward. They're in fear of moving on. Something has happened in their life to cause them to be filled with anxiety and distrust. Amen. We're living in a time when churches around us are falling apart at the seams. They can't trust pastors anymore. Amen. People are being hurt left and right. And you know what it does? It'll get you to a point to where you're apprehensive about doing anything. I actually had a man tell me a while back. He came to our church for a while. He's not coming now. And I talked to him about taking part in a ministry in our church. He said, "Preacher, to be honest with you, right now, I don't want to be involved in anything." You know what he was saying? I got cold feet. I got cold feet. Used to, back before they had good boots, and we just put on three or four pair of socks when we went deer hunting. Y'all remember that? You ever had your feet so cold you couldn't feel your toes? You still be numb when you got home? You run in there in the bathtub and cut that warm water on. Put that warm water. Ain't nothing better on cold feet than good warm bath water. Amen. Just let them, and then they start tingling and the feeling starts coming back. Some of your feet have gotten so cold that they're numb. You don't feel anything anymore. Somebody help me right there. I mean, boy, you put up so much walls and so much blockage, nobody's ever going to hurt me again. Well, there is a downside to putting up walls. If we can't get in, chances are Jesus can't get in either. Amen. Amen. Some people need their cold feet washed. Amen. And if we'd come to the Lord tonight, he could warm up those cold feet. Now, I'll be honest with you. When somebody does me wrong, it's a hard deal for me to trust them again. Amen. If I find out who broke in my house, I'll probably never trust that person again. And we tend to do that. We put up these barriers in our lives. We say, "You've done that to me one time, you won't ever do it again." But you know, it's not the person that we've lost the trust in that we're hurting. It's ourselves.
Right.
Amen. People have put up so much walls they can't even get a blessing in a service like this.
Amen.
Amen. I say this all the time. Everybody's sitting in the same place, hearing the same thing, seeing the same thing, but everybody ain't feeling the same thing. Amen. You see some that are on the altar weeping and crying. I saw one of our young ladies tonight down here praying. I hadn't seen her in an altar in a long time. Boy, it's blessed my heart. I sat there in that chair while she is praying. I prayed, "God, I don't know what she's asking for, but you touch that baby tonight. You help her." Amen. Amen. Boy, that thrilled my heart. And boy, you see people, see the Holy Spirit moving and people moving and people weeping and people rejoicing. And then there are those that sit there just like this. What happened? Your heart's got hard. Your feet's got cold. Somewhere along the line, somebody did you wrong. But listen, I know that happens in life. I don't care. Somebody said, "Well, somebody hurt my feelings in this church. I'm going to another church." They going to go too. They going to go too. You know what you're going to find when you get there? Somebody's going to hurt your feelings there. Hey, man, they started this church up here in town. I don't even know if it's still open. It was called the Perfect Church. It's done closed, ain't it? You know what happened? Somebody from Happy Valley went over and joined it. Amen. Somebody from this church went over and joined that perfect church and messed it all up. Amen? Amen. You know why that church no longer exists? Because there ain't no such thing as a perfect church. There ain't no such thing as perfect people, and people do stupid stuff. Hey, listen, in life we get hurt and we get wounded and we get bit. Amen. Man, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that years ago when I preached my first sermon and I thought it was absolutely horrible that I didn't say I ain't doing that again? Amen. Brother, when you get hurt, your first reaction is, I won't go there again. This will never happen again. But don't you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the Lord, what He did. He left the Garden of Gethsemane, went to the garrison, from the garrison to Gabbatha, where they beat Him till He was unrecognizable. He could have stopped in there anywhere and said, no, not me. There ain't nobody doing me like this. But then He picked up His cross and went down that dusty road and carried that the Via Della Rosa. That's what I was trying to think of. Went down that Via Della Rosa road and carried that patibulum, that cross, part of that cross across His shoulders. And He bare that thing all the way to Calvary. And there they hung Him, and He suffered and He died. And when He did finally speak up, you know what He said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He died loving the ones who put Him on the tree. We've got to get to the place where we say, I would rather have the blessings and take a chance on being hurt again than live my life with my heart hard and just kind of sitting in the background and never getting involved in anything. Man, you do not know what blessing is until you get involved in the lives of other people. Amen. You don't know what blessings are. When that little mother called me Friday night and said, can you meet us at maybe at the park and talk to my son? He's really, really having a hard time and struggling. And I said, I had a lot of things going on. I said, yeah, I will. I'll do that. And I just kind of made myself, we'll do that. He needs that young man needs somebody to talk to. I got out of my truck at Gold Dust Park. Had a little boy, he's usually standoffish and real quiet, won't even look at you. I got out of the truck and he got out of their van. That boy walked over and put his arms around me and hugged me. I said, whoa, business is picking up around here. He said, Brother Eddie, I need some help. I said, well, I'm here to help you. We went and found us a park bench and sat down on that thing. I started listening to that little old boy tell me about what was going on in his heart and in his mind. And I thought, oh, dear God, I'm glad I didn't make an excuse. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. I told him, I said, son, look at me just for a minute. And he looked up across that picnic table. He's looking down the whole time. He looked me dead in my eyes. I said, Lee, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? He said, no, sir. I know I wouldn't. He said, I'm not saved. I said, you want to get that handled today? He said, yes, sir. That's why I'm here. I said, let me run to the truck. I'll be right back. I went and got my little sword, and I came back, and we sat at that table and looked at the scriptures together. Had a little fella bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus to come. Woo, son, all my problems went down the street. Amen. Hey, thank God we got to get involved in the lives of other people. We get hurt and we get done wrong and we become so self-absorbed. There are people who are not in church tonight because of me, myself, and I. Not me. I'm talking about them. People tell me their problems, and it's me, I, we. Hey, listen, man, with Jesus, it was never me. It was always they, them, theirs. Are you listening to me? It was always others. And we'll never know blessing again in our life till we warm them old cold feet up. Tear down some walls and let some people back into our life. Amen. Listen to me carefully. We will never hurt you intentionally. Amen. That's one thing I can promise you about our church. We are not mean. Amen. We are not mean. We don't kill our wounded. We love them. Amen. You can go out and mess up and fall into sin and come back and we'll love you just like you did when you left. We've got 20 years of proof in that right there. Make it 21. Amen. We're not going to beat you up. Now somebody may Facebook you, somebody, hey man, if somebody writes about you on Facebook and you get mad, you got a problem. If you take Facebook that serious, you've got a problem. You probably believe cartoons are real too, right? Amen. I'm not worried about somebody with no face, what they got to say about me. Y'all all right? Somebody said, why don't you got Facebook? Y'all better be glad I don't.
Amen.
Now I'm serious heart attack. You better be glad I don't. Amen. I'd do like one preacher did. I'd put them up there on the screen. Let everybody read it. That's what we'd do on Sunday night, read everybody's post. It got quiet, didn't it? Y'all know we have the technology to do that, right? Levi, can't we put that off that laptop? Boom, right there it is. Better be careful, amen? Listen, man, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you do anything for God, you're going to get hurt. It's not if or when, it's how bad. Are you listening? People are going to do you wrong. Amen. We had the police out to the house on Monday or Tuesday, I believe, and they did a police report and fingerprints and all that junk about getting my house broke into. And the deputy said, Pastor, do you have any idea who might have come in and taken your stuff? And I said, well, not really, but I can promise you this: it's somebody I love. It's somebody I trust. It's somebody I care about. I said, I got one question. If y'all catch them, do I have to press charges? He said, oh, no. He said, that'd be totally up to you. He said, well, if you catch them and I find out who it is and I go over and beat the tar out of them, will you take me to jail? He said, oh, no, you go right ahead. Amen. We'll just do it old school. Amen. Amen. That'd be deputy and sheriff right there. Amen. But seriously, boy, they'd be a part of me that would want to just disown them. Right. Never speak to them again.
Amen.
But man, I can't allow that. Over a couple of guns. Man, we letting stuff creep in our lives and make our hearts so hard. And our feet so cold. And God blows in like he did tonight. And he wants to bless that old heart, but it's so hard and stony. God said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking, but I can't get in.
Right.
He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not a salvation call. That's a fellowship with his children call. It's the father standing at the door saying, hey, son, hey, daughter, I'd like to come in and spend a little time. Amen. But we come to church with a do not disturb sign hung on our door. Amen. Soften up that heart. And you may have to ask God to help you with that. Amen. Now listen, God can break it. God can break it. But you don't want to have to get it healed that way. It'd be better to get it healed by softening. Amen. Are you all right? There are some that have cold feet. Are your feet cold tonight? Are you anxious about getting involved or letting people in? I guarantee you there's some folks here like that tonight. They're like this. Close enough. I actually had a fella tell me this. He said, I don't want to go out to eat with nobody. I don't want to get to know anybody. Man, what are you missing?
Amen.
What are you missing? I wonder why you come to church.
Right.
Why do you even come? You don't feel anything when you're here. You don't get anything out of it. You're coming out of duty, that's for sure. It's no longer delight. You don't enjoy the service. At least your face doesn't tell it. Amen. People sat there. You should have seen their faces a while ago when I said we was going to wash feet tonight. Amen. But I'm serious. Just sat there and God moving, people getting saved, and just a stone cold. Something's wrong. Everybody don't have to act like me. I pray they don't. Amen. If everybody goes clicking their heels over their head, we're in trouble. Amen. The people, the only safe ones is the front row. From there back, it's bad. Amen. You're going to get kicked in the chin. Amen. I don't expect everybody to act like me. But brother, we ought to have some kind of emotion about us when the Lord shows up. And I'm sick and tired of people saying we're emotional. We are. I'll claim guilty to that. I'll own up to it. That's a true statement. We are very emotional. Amen. Y'all know where I'm going if you've been around here long. Woo! That's an emotion. I'd say that's one of exuberance and joy, one of happiness. Now watch me now. That's an emotion too. If you're critical and sour, you're just as emotional as we are. Amen. We are emotional creatures. Stay with me just a second. Why'd you get saved? You got saved because of fear. Yeah. I ain't never met anybody got saved because they wanted to go to heaven. People get saved because hell becomes a reality. I mean, we get saved for selfish motives. But it's the emotion of fear that drives us to the foot of Calvary. We're emotional creatures and God deals with us on an emotional level. So yeah, we're emotional. And we're going to shout. Amen. I'd just like you to enjoy it too. We're not just here to endure our journey. We're here to enjoy our journey. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. But something's happened and you've allowed the devil to creep in and make your old heart just as hard and cold and dry. Boy, that ain't God's will. That ain't God's desire. He wants to bless you. You cannot convince me that he comes by here week after week after week after week. And when I say come by, you know what I'm talking about. He just kind of manifests himself. Like Brother Robbie is talking about. He lets us know in our hearts that he's here and he's near. When they were singing that song about he's always near. Boy, I'm telling you, that just fired my soul up. Amen. Amen. You can't tell me he comes by just for a few. He would. He doesn't come by just to bless a couple that came to the altar. He wants to bless a whole bunch. He wants the whole bunch to be strengthened and edified. Amen. He wants the whole bunch to be encouraged. But some of us have gotten so hard and we've pushed God away and we're holding God at bay. You don't want to admit that, but you are, because your feet's got cold and you got a little anxiety about getting involved, about knowing people. And listen, man, you're robbing yourself. I'm telling you, one of the greatest blessings in my life is sitting in these pews right here and knowing you and being a part of your lives. Do you know who has the most potential to hurt me in this church? Those that are the closest to me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Charles, Brother Freddie, one of these guys, Brother William, Tommy, my deacons, man, Brother Warren, these guys, they could hurt me bad. They could tear my heart inside out. But man, I'm not going to not love them because they have that potential or they have that ability. Brother Warren tried one day, stopped me out there in the parking lot, said, pray about something. I said, what? He said, we're thinking about leaving. I said, what? I said, yeah, I'll pray real hard about that. Pray God strike you dead if you even start out of the parking lot. Amen. Amen. Well, seriously, man, what are you going to do? You just going to have no family, no friends, go live in a cave somewhere and be a hermit? What somebody needs to say is, Lord, warm my feet up again. Lord, get me back to the place, God, where I can love people. And God, get me back to the place where you can love me. Amen. There is nothing better. I'm going to get stuck on this one spot. I knew I was, but there's nothing better. I travel and preach out of town all the time, and there's nothing. My favorite thing in the world is coming home. I stand on that curb with my little suitcase at the airport. Man, I see a white Toyota come around the curb. Woo! It does something to me, boy. It does. I sat in that truck, boy, and she plants big wet one right there. Smack dab on my lips. I feel it in my toes. Amen. Hey, when you go off, I go off for a week. I'm not shown any affection. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm not shown any affection. I've been sleeping by myself all week. And I come home, she put her hands on my shoulder and start rubbing my shoulder. Oh, Lord, man, it feels so good to feel her touch. And man, it's like that with the Lord. You get out there in the world and you battle this and you fight that and you deal with this. Man, I've been dealing with junk all week long. Walking here this morning, that choir started singing. It was like the Lord sat down in that chair beside me and started rubbing my back. Woo! I needed that touch. I needed to feel His presence and know that He's there. Cold feet need washing. There are some that don't have cold feet, but they got hot feet. They got itchy feet. They can't be still. They can't be still. I'm going to tell you what the problem with those people are. And I'm going to go back to that first point a little bit. They're so full of themselves. Everything's about me. Everything's about them all, their own self. I remember in our old church there was a lady. She come in my office and she sat down and she said, "Brother Eddie, I'm thinking about killing myself." She said, "I'm thinking about committing suicide." And this is years and years ago. And I'd heard another preacher say this and I thought, "Well, I'm going to try this." She said, "What should I do?" She said, "I'm taking these pills and these pills. I don't know what to do." She said, "I can't find no joy and I can't find no happiness." And she began to tell me all the things that all was her. Everything about her. I said, "You got a cupcake pan?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Have you got two?" She said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "Well, next Sunday morning, I want you to make 24 cupcakes for one of the buses." She said, "What's that got anything to do? What's that got to do with anything?" I said, "Just do it." Man, before you knew it, she was cooking cupcakes for all the buses. Amen. I met her in the hall one Sunday. I said, "What about that nervous breakdown?" She said, "I got so busy I had to call it off." Amen. She got involved in the lives of other people. She got out there and fell in love with them bus kids. And she heard them bus kids talking about, "Pray for my mama, pray for my daddy who's in jail." You know what she found out? Her problems wasn't near as big as she thought they were. Man, you get involved in the lives of other people, you'll find out your problems ain't as big as you think they are. Amen. Some people have got cold feet and just can't seem to get in. And some people got hot feet and can't wait to get out. Amen. Every little thing sets them off. They jump to conclusions. They run to trouble. They run to trial. They run to heartache. They run to misery. Every now and then you just need to slow down. Set still and give God time to work some things out. Amen. Over the years in my ministry, boy, when people come to me and say, "Oh, this is going on, you need to deal with that, and this is going on, you need to deal with that," you know what I've learned to do? Sometimes you do have to just jump on something immediately, but most of the time, I just back off. Be still. Because I found out if I get involved in it, if it's not something horrible, if it's something that can ride a week or two, God work that thing out. Amen. These mamas used to tell me all the time, "You got to do something about these girls fighting and leave." Man, I ain't messing with them girls. If I get mom and daddy, get their big noses out of it. You give them girls a week or two, they'll be in the altar together and they'll get it right. Amen. People just jumping to conclusions, jumping the gun, running off too quick. You know what I see in the ministry? People don't stay in it long enough to reap the blessings of it. Amen. I feel sorry for these guys that pastor an average of 5 years and move off somewhere else. What happens in 5 years, they've preached everything they know. So they go somewhere else and re-preach that stuff for 5 more years. Well, got quiet on me. I'm telling you the truth. And you don't hear anymore of preachers being somewhere 21 years. Amen. Some of them Southern Baptist churches, man, they change pastors more than I change socks. I'm serious, man. Every time you drive by the sign, it needs to be revolving. Magnetic. Pastor so-and-so. Driving by a church one day and saw the name on it. I'd name the church, but every one of you knows who it is. I saw the name on their sign, and I thought, "Oh, they got a new pastor." Man, it wasn't about a month or two later, I rode back by, it was blank. A month or two later, I rode back by, another name. I'm talking about in a series, just in a process of a few months. Isn't that crazy? Boy, I'm telling you, I like longevity. I like sticking around. I ain't in a hurry to go nowhere. Amen. That'd be scary, man. That'd be scary to have to go somewhere and start all over. Amen. Not know anybody. Amen. You know why I stay here? Y'all know me and you still love me. Amen. How about that? Some's got cold feet and they need to be warm. Some got hot feet and they need to be cooled. Then there's some that's just got dragon feet. No deep thought tonight, but I believe it's needful. Some's got dragging feet. Got all kind of intentions, but no get up and go. Amen. Got all kind of good intentions. How many of you full of good intentions? Somebody help me, be honest. Oh, God, boy, we need to do this. Me and Levi will get together, or me and Brother Freddie or Brother Charles, and well, we ought to do this, and we ought to do that, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do that. And boy, it sounds good coming out our mouth, but to get the thing in gear and get going. We want to do it. We know we ought to do it. But we can't seem to get motivated and make ourselves get up and do it. Amen? We're dragging our feet. How many of you procrastinate? I have a theory about mowing grass. I got a philosophy about mowing grass. The taller you let it grow, the more grass you get to cut. Just go ahead and get it all at one whack. I'll wait till the last week of summer and cut it. Amen. Somebody help me right there, amen. Cutting grass at my house is like, it's horrible. It's horrible because I got more dirt than I do grass, and it's a dust storm, man. It looks like a cloud set over my house when I cut grass. Anyway, amen. We put things off. We put things off. Why do today what I can do tomorrow? Amen. We drag our feet and drag our feet. Some of you sitting there a while ago when Brother Warren said Brother Anthony needs somebody to help him work on that bus. Lord spoke to somebody's heart. I bet you a crisp $100 bill, if I was betting, man, that God spoke to somebody's heart and said, you know you could help him. There's a man that's willing that fell off the roof onto the parking lot and's got brain damage. He ain't convinced me he didn't have it before, amen. And you know what you'll do? You'll sit there and think of all the reasons why you can't. Amen. Some of you are probably sitting there and said, I got a jack. Y'all remember Gomer Pyle? You got a jack. He's talking about that hydraulic jack. Somebody probably thought, I got a hydraulic jack. You started off something, you whispered to yourself in your heart, I could help him do that. Yeah. And then the Lord hits you with the jack. But you're still thinking of reasons you can't. That's not a big deal. It's working on a bus. Let me tell you what is a big deal. You fix it on Saturday, they're going to load it on Sunday. Amen. And they're going to go pick up some little boys and girls. Chances are some that's never heard the gospel. Amen. They're going to hear about how Jesus loves them and died for them and gave his life for them. They're going to hear about how they don't have to die and go to hell. And boy, at that invitation time, they're going to come. Brother Thomas is going to kneel down with a little boy about that out there. And that little boy is going to get born again because you didn't hide your jack. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Dragging our feet. Dragging our feet. Boy, I need this preaching myself. Amen. I'm the world's worst. My wife begged me to fix a door in our house, Brother Freddie. It wouldn't shut. It was Katie's bedroom. She begged me to fix it the whole time she grew up. Yeah. Okay, don't make a list, all right? Next point. This is not class participation, amen? Katie asked, will you fix that door? Yeah, I'll do it. Will you fix my door? Yeah, I'll do it. And then she moved out. Sister Angie turned it into a gym. It's really a museum. You know, you put stuff in museums you don't use, amen. It's a museum. But anyway, she fixed that gym up and got the treadmill and the elliptical thing we got from you and the punching bag. I don't punch it, she does. That mess with that woman, she'll wear you out. I'm here to tell you. Anyhow, she fix that door. Last year at camp meeting, you know, we brought Caleb and Jasmine. They came and stayed with us one day. I got up one morning, Caleb was getting tools. I said, what are you doing? He said, I borrowed some tools from Brother Allen. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to fix that door. I said, I knew there's a reason I put that off. Amen. I'm going to invite him back to come stay with us this year. I'm going to make him a list this time. Or y'all can. Hey, you seem to know more what I need than I do. Amen. We're bad about dragging our feet, ain't we? Amen. Bad. You ever had the Lord, and you knew he did it, put somebody on your heart? You sit in a service and you look around and you wonder where somebody's at. I need to call them. I need to call them. Just check on them. You know, that's not just my job. We love each other like we say we do. That's all our job. Amen. There's some that I'm afraid are so close to being out of church. Amen. I ain't naming names. I ain't got to. Phone call go a long way. Little card in the mail go a long way. And I ain't talking about one of them, bless God, what's your problem phone calls. They don't need that. We got enough of that. Amen. But just a, hey, I'll miss you. Been thinking about you. Just want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. Man, that's big. You ever been down and the devil's got you convinced nobody gives a flip about you and all of a sudden your phone rang? Well, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. But boy, God will put somebody on our heart. And this way it works for me. It happens every week. My wife's got to where y'all think she's playing with her phone in church. She ain't. She's making a list. She's got one of them little to-do list things on her. And she's typing down names. We'll get in the truck and go home. She'll say, where was this one today? I don't know. Where was that one today? I don't know. Where was this one today? I don't know. You need to know. You need to find out. Boy, that's been helping me, boy. Amen. That's been helping me a lot. Because I'll sit right there and I'll say, I wonder where so-and-so is. Wonder what's going on with them. Matter of fact, I ain't seen them in a couple of weeks. I'm going to call and check on them tomorrow. My phone will start ringing before I get out of bed, I guarantee it. And it'll ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. No, normally it don't ring. It beeps while I'm on the phone with somebody else. And I get busy dealing with other stuff and forget to call and check on that person. I guarantee you we ever one guilty of that kind of thing. Some got cold feet. They need them washed to warm them. Some got hot feet. They need them washed to cool them. Lord, teach us some patience and to sit still. Some of us have got dragging feet. And we need a good foot washing to get us up and going again. Amen? Then there's some. I just got a couple more. Just thought of these and thought it'd be real simple preaching but might help somebody at the same time. There's some that got tired feet. A couple of years ago, I've always been kind of a shoe freak. Not like a woman now, but you know what I mean. I love nice shoes. A few years ago, man, I always wore real nice leather-soled shoes. Man, something happened. A couple of years ago, boy, my legs started hurting. I get home from church on Sunday night, and my feet and my legs ache. You know what it was? They just tired and fatigued. So I had to go get some old man shoes like Brother Williams with cushion on the inside. Amen. Now I can feel that squish. That feels good on my tired feet. Amen. Did you know an army of soldiers is no better than its feet? Let me say it again. An army of soldiers is no better than its feet. We can't march if our feet are tired. Amen. Let me say that again. We can't march if our feet are tired. Onward, Christian soldier, marching as to war. Some just get absolutely wore out. Paul said he was weary in well-doing. Sometimes, man, I don't care who you are, the ministry will wear you out. Dealing with people's troubles and their trials will wear you out. I'll be honest with you, there's days I don't want to hear nothing else. I just don't. I can't process what I've already heard. I don't have the answers for what I've already been asked. Amen. And I don't know what's coming next. It gets heavy. It gets tiresome. Amen. And you know what helps me more than anything? What was I doing the other day? I know what I'd done. I went and it was yesterday and prayed with Lee and led Lee to the Lord down here at the park. And then a little bit later, Brother Charles called me. He said, "I want you to know I went by and saw Sister Michelle's mom." I said, "Thank you, brother. I'm so glad you did that." I think Brother Freddie went today. Is that right? Did I hear you say in the prayer room? Man, thank you, guys. Man, you know, that's a blessing. That is a blessing. Hey, when Brother Charles gets tired, I want to be able to help him. Amen. When he gets tired and weary and wore out, I want to be able to help him. Here's what we do when people get, when you get tired and you get weary, the devil's going to sit down in your lap. Amen. And he's going to start whispering in your ear at trash talk we preached about the other day. He'll tell you nobody appreciates you. He'll tell you everything you're doing is going unnoticed. Amen. Are you listening to me? I tell you, when somebody gets tired, come here, Brother William. I noticed old Brother William's limping and his feet are sore. I need to help my brother. Instead of running around the church and tell my other brothers, "Old William's slacking. Something wrong with that boy. We need to pray for him. He ain't right." If we spend as much time trying to help somebody who's hurt,
amen,
as we do talking about somebody who's hurt,
amen,
we'd be a lot better off.
Amen.
Amen. We'd be a whole lot better off. I know some people who are tired tonight. They got tired feet. You know what they need? They need revival. They need a foot washing of revival. Amen. Yeah, that'll work. I got a little fat preacher coming that can preach paint off a wall. And he will. I didn't ask him to come because he's my friend. I prayed and struggled that thing for months. Levi'd ask me every day, "You got revival yet? You booked a revival yet?" Nope. I had two preachers on my mind. I could not figure out which one it's supposed to be. One day the Lord just showed me. I called Brother Ronnie. He said, "We'll come." I don't know why God picked him, but God knows why God picked him. He may preach the same message he preached the last two times he is here. I told him, I said, "Whatever you do, don't preach dumb as a rock." He said, "Why come?" I said, "That's what you preached the last two times you was here." He said, "No, I didn't." I said, "Yeah, you preached it one year in camp meeting, came back next year and preached it again." Amen. I said, "We don't care." Amen. Revive. I'm tired of seeing people take vacations who come home tireder than they was before they left. I ain't against people taking vacations. Me and my wife's going to take one. When we can figure out a time, we're going on vacation. Amen. We're not going on a mission trip. We're going on vacation.
Amen.
Amen. You know what we're going to do for a week? Nothing. Amen. I'm going to leave a stinking country. I'm going to leave Mr. iPhone at the house. I have not convinced Brother Freddie of that. Amen. Hey, it don't work over there nohow. Amen. I'm going to leave that junk alone, man, and rest. Now, somebody's tired and needs to rest. Now, I don't want to hear about you tired because you're running your legs off out there in the world. Then you're so tired you can't do something for God. Kills me how parents have time for t-ball, football, gymnastics. What else is it? soccer and softball and on and on and basketball. And man, I'd drive by that new Georgia Ruritan. Man, I'd give anything if we could draw a crowd like that. They just mowed down a patch of woods over there and made more parking than they still people parked on the road. Well, sorry we ain't been to church. We just ain't had time. We've been so busy. By Sunday, we're so wore out. Yeah, I know. Because you've given all you got for all that junk out there. Amen. But I'm talking about those who are weary in well-doing. Those who are tired in serving God. And I don't care who you are. You do the same thing long enough, it gets old.
Amen.
Yeah. I get old to you, evidently, because you don't listen to nothing I say. Hey, man, it goes in one ear and out the other. Y'all all right? You know what we need? We need a refreshing every now and then. Jesus told his disciples, said, come apart. We're going to rest a little while. Amen. If you're tired, rest, man. Tell somebody, hey, can you pick up my slack a little bit? Can you help me? Amen. Let somebody help you. Amen. Don't be so full of pride that you can't admit, buddy, I've just about done all I know to do. Amen. There's some that's got tired feet. Need the washing of revival. Some of us ought to pray. God, I pray you'll stir me up in this revival. Lord, rekindle a fire that used to burn in my heart in this revival. I don't even know that preacher, but let him give him something that's going to help me. Amen. Revival is not an evangelistic meeting. It's not a soul-winning crusade. Revival is for people who are saved already. Amen. Who needs to get the thing fired up again and revive. That's what the word means, revive. Breathe life into something where they ain't none and they used to be. Amen. There's people in this church right now, in this room, used to be an altar every service. And I barely remember the last time you come down here and prayed. Something's wrong. Did you get tired? Did you just get tired? Did you get hurt and got cold feet? What is it? There's one more set of feet that needs washing in our church. I said there's cold feet, there's hot feet, there's dragging feet, there's tired feet. Lastly, and I'm done, there's dirty feet. There's dirty feet. Washing feet in the days of Jesus, it was a custom. They wore sandals. And the land where they lived was very dusty and dry. And it was the job of the servant when the master came home to kneel and take a pan and wash his master's feet because they were dirty. He didn't want to track what he'd pick up on the road into the house. Sometimes we just need a good washing. You don't take a shower every now and then, you're going to go to stinking. Amen. Sometimes in the summer, I take two a day. I hate it when it gets so stinking hot, you get ready for church, and the time you get to church, you need a shower. Amen. I take two showers a day. Ain't nothing in the world I hate worse than going to bed dirty. Oh, gritty. But man, spiritually, we do that day in and day out. And day in and day out. Now, you could sit in a service like we had tonight and not feel anything because you got cold feet. But another reason you sit in a service like we had tonight and not feel anything is because you got dirty feet. You got so much sin unconfessed that God can't get in. We need to come say like Peter, not just my feet. Get my head in my hands while you're at it. Wash me all over. God, clean me up. Amen. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that right? Man, that ought to be a daily thing. That ought to be a daily thing. That ought to be how we start our prayer, man, every day. Oh, God, forgive me of my junk and my wickedness. God, forgive me of my stupidity and my laziness. And God, forgive me for the thoughts that I've had. And God, just whatever the case may be, get it cleaned up. You know what it does? It piles up. piles up and piles up, and you just get used to being dirty. There was a family of kids that lived on our bus route when I was a kid. Every now and then, Mom would bring them home. There's a passel of them. And they was old-timey. You believe it or not, when I was a kid, there's still some houses around here that didn't have indoor plumbing. They had outhouses. They were one of them. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They had an outhouse. Man, them kids go on the bus. Woo, they stunk. I mean, I'm talking about B.O. to the max, buddy. They smelled. Mama would bring them home every now and then, put them in the bathtub. She'd put all the girls in the bathtub at once, and then she'd get them dried off, and she'd put all the boys in there, scrub them down, put them on new clothes. Next week, they'd come back smelling the same way they did the week before. But you know what? They'd get on the bus, and everybody on the bus would go, ooh. They've been smelling that way so long, they don't even notice it. They've been dirty so long, they don't even know they're dirty. They got used to it. They got used to it. It's the same way it is in our lives when we let sin pile up. We'll get to the point where we're in our sin and looking at everybody else, thinking they ought to get right. We ought to take our shoes off, look at our own feet. Amen. Foot washing. I said I was going to preach about foot washing. I wonder if we could have foot washing tonight. I'm talking about an altar call where somebody come and say, Lord, not just my feet, but wash me all over. I've been out there in the world and got dirty again. Lord, would you clean me up again? Would you? We're just like animals sometimes. I stood out there in the pasture the other day and I brushed my horse for 30 minutes. It's springtime and he's shedding. I bet you I combed a pound and a half of hair off that horse. I got mane and tail detangler, the stuff in a spray bottle, and I sprayed his mane, and I sprayed his tail, and I sat there and held that horse's tail and raked and raked and raked every tangle out of his tail. Every tangle out of his mane. I mean, boy, he looked like he would have been on a picture of a magazine when I got done. Amen. I started to walk away, walk back to the house. I turned around. You know what the sucker was doing? Laying on his back. Wallowing in the dirt. Isn't that just like us? We come to church and the Lord meets with us and blesses our socks off. We come to altar and weep and we got, amen. Not just my feet, Lord, but my head, my hands and my head. Lord, wash me all over. I've got myself dirtied up again. There may be some that just like to get on the altar and say, Lord, I'll be honest with you, I'm not mad at nobody. Hey, now I don't have an ought against anybody, but I'm just tired. Lord, I need that revival. I need that refreshing. I need a fresh visit from you. Maybe there's some, you're having a hard time sitting still. You want to jump and run over every little thing. You ought to ask God to give you some patience. I pray for patience all the time. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Most impatient person in the world. Some say, Lord, my feet have gotten cold. My feet have gotten cold. And be honest with you, I'm scared to death of getting hurt. Amen. That's an easy thing to preach, but it's a hard thing to admit. It's a hard thing to admit. It's easy to admit other people's faults, but it's hard to admit your own. Amen. Hey, somebody tonight, you need to take the wall down. And it may be so big you can't tear it down. But the Lord can help you. Lord can help you. Maybe it's been a while since you felt the Lord's touch. You ought to ask yourself why. I wonder if we could just have a good old-fashioned altar call tonight. Somebody come down here and say, Lord, I need my feet washed. I need to get this right. I need to get this straight. I need to be able to feel your presence and your power again. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, y'all come if you would. get us a song. Ashley, you want Bibba? Miss Elizabeth, would you come? Y'all just sing a verse, whatever you got on your heart. Just take some time. Just mind the Lord tonight.